This is Audible.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure of the courageous Mrs. Richland. The Green Hornet strikes again!
Yes, Miss Case?
Mrs. Richland is here to see you, Mr. Reid.
Helen Richland? I'll have her come right in, Miss Case.
Yes, sir.
Britt Reid, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, arose from his desk and stood waiting to greet his visitor. He knew Mrs. Richland as a determined, courageous woman who, since the death of her husband, had fought her way up in the business world and was now running for the state legislature. Britt smiled as Mrs. Richland entered his office.
Good afternoon, Helen. It's good to see you.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything important, Britt, but I just had to see you.
Well, not at all, Helen. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
I'm very glad you dropped in. You've been so busy lately with your campaign.
Well, right now, this campaign is the farthest thing from my mind. I'm deeply worried, Britt.
Well, what's wrong? If there's anything I can do...
Tell me, Britt. Have you had a report of any sort of killing since last night?
Killing? Now, see here, Helen. Don't tell me you've resorted to shooting your way into the legislature.
I'm serious, Britt.
That's a rather strange question coming from you, Helen.
Perhaps it is, but I must know.
Well, there's been no report of a killing. But you could have found that out by phoning police headquarters. What's this all about, anyway?
Well, I couldn't phone the police without arousing their curiosity.
A question like that is enough to make anyone curious. Well, why not come to the point and tell me what's bothering you?
All right, I will. Britt, you know what a time I've had with my son, Jim. I've spent so little time with the boy that, well, at 21, he's headstrong and irresponsible.
So it's Jim that's bothering you?
Yes, it's Jim. This time he's in real trouble. Oh, Britt, before I tell you about it, I want you to promise me you won't notify the police.
But, Helen,
It isn't that I'm trying to prevent the law from taking its course, but I'll see that when the proper time comes, the police are notified.
Hey, this does sound serious.
Yes. You see, Jim's crazy about listening to various orchestras. According to the story he told me, last night he met a friend who persuaded him to go to some nightclub or roadhouse. he didn't say which, to have dinner and to listen to the band there.
I see. He had a friend along with him, then?
No, I shouldn't have said a friend. According to Jim, he just met the boy early last night and struck up an acquaintanceship. He knew only his first name.
I see.
Well, during the dinner, the friend wandered away and left Jim sitting alone. And a short time later, a man who said he was the manager approached Jim, told him he recognized him as my son, and was glad to have him drop in. Well, it seems this man introduced Jim to a young lady, told them to enjoy themselves, and that everything was on the house.
Go on.
Well, as a rule, Jim doesn't drink, so far as I know. But he said the girl was a good dancer, pleasant company, pretended to like him very much. She laughed at him so, and urged him to such an extent that, well, he drank more than he should have.
Oh, come on, Jimmy. Have one more teeny little drink. Come on, don't be a sissy.
No. I've had enough, May, honey. No more for little Jimmy.
But I can't sit here and drink all by myself. What'll all these people think to see poor little me sitting here with a droop who can't even hold a few little drinks?
Who says I'm a droop, huh? Who said that? Tell me.
I say so. That is, if you won't be sociable.
Oh, yeah? Where's the waiter? I gotta have another just to show you that I can
drink.
Here's
a drink, Jimmy.
Huh? What? Oh, hell no. All that service. I must have you hootie for a waiter here. The little guy who wasn't there brought me a drink. Here's us.
That's a boy, Jimmy.
Oh, wow. It's two of everything, that's what I see. Two of you are going round and round.
Come on, let's dance. Want it?
Sure. That's it, let's dance. I want to dance.
Wait, Jimmy.
Now, what's the matter?
Oh, Jimmy, here's my boyfriend coming this way, and he's simply furious.
Boyfriend, did you say? But I thought you...
Well, babyface, the minute I turn my back, you two-time me, huh?
Hey, who's this gorilla? Is he your boyfriend, huh, May? Is he?
Listen here, mushmouth. You can't call me a gorilla and get away with it, see?
Who says I can't? Who says?
Oh, you want to make something out of it, huh?
Here, what's going on?
Who are you, big shot?
It's a manager here. We can't have any trouble. You'll have to leave.
This dribble face is with my girlfriend, see? I have a good mind to twist him into a pretzel.
Oh, yeah? You can't talk that way to me.
Get back.
Bill, Lanny.
Yeah, boss.
What gives?
What's going on here, boss?
A hot argument. But I think it can be settled quietly.
Oh, yeah? That's what you think, big stuff. I'm going to bust this mug for keeps.
Listen, you. Both of you come to my office. You can settle it there, any way you like.
Get going to the boss's office, like he said.
Yeah, that lit-up glowworm. He got the nerve to settle it, if you ask me.
Even if he is bigger than you, Jimmy, you don't have to take that right in front of me.
That's right. You can't talk like that to me. Let's go, honey. Little Jimmy's not letting any bald-headed ape like him push you and me around, May. I'll show him.
And then, Britt, according to Jim's story, they went to the manager's office. The girl slipped away and he didn't see her again.
The girl seems to have been a plant.
Oh, yes, I'm sure she was.
Well, what happened after that?
Jim said he remembers going into the manager's office with the bald-headed man and the other three, and after that, everything was rather vague.
Naturally.
Jim remembers that the other man, who was quite bald and larger than Jim, was in a terrific rage. Well, Jim began to sober a little and began to realize he was really in for more than he could handle. The manager tried to quiet things down.
Now, Pete, take it easy. The kid didn't mean any harm. May doesn't mean anything to him.
Oh, yeah? I know these mealy-mouthed young wolves like him with their fancy yapping. I'll settle this once and for all.
Grab him, kid. He's got a gun. Grab him.
Put that gun away. I'll show you.
Get that gun, Lenny.
Holy mackerel.
The kid shot Pete.
Looks like he's hurt bad, boss.
I'll see. Well, this is a mess.
Hey, you don't mean he's done for, do you?
That's right, Lenny. He is. This is terrible. I shouldn't have brought them in here.
We'll have cops all over the place.
Well, the killer's right here waiting for him.
Oh, he did it himself. He still had the gun in his own hand. He was going to use it on me. It was an accident. You know it was.
Didn't look like no accident to me.
But it was, I tell you. But you saw what happened. All of you saw it happen.
Yeah. We sure did, kid. Too bad. You'll get the hot seat for this.
That's right. The cops will call it murder.
Boys, I don't know what to say. I hardly know what to do.
Get the cops, that's what. Well, we'll tell them the truth that the kid here plugged Pete before he had a chance.
What's eating you, boss? Ain't you going to call the cops?
I happen to know this kid is Jimmy Richland. His mother's running for the legislature. It'll be tough for him and for her.
Well, you better call the cops, boss, or we'll all be in trouble.
I guess there's nothing else to do.
No. No, you can't. If I'm arrested for murder, it'll mean my mother will be...
You mean curtains for your mother's chances of getting elected for one thing, kid.
Yeah. Maybe the chair for you.
That's right. We'll have to swear you killed him. That's the way we saw it. Huh, Bill?
Yeah.
I tell you, it was an accident. Do you hear that? Why did I come here? There's only something I could do.
Look, kid, I know the spot you're in, and I'm sorry for you. Maybe we... Look, let's have a private talk. Maybe we can do something. Bill and Lanny will stow the body away and keep quiet until we decide what.
So the manager made a proposition to him. And then Jim came home and told me the whole story, making me promise not to go to the police.
Well, the boy is on a spot. What was the proposition, Helen?
The manager told Jim to get $10,000 to pay off the other two men for concealing the body and for keeping quiet.
I see. Open blackmail, huh?
That's exactly the way I see it. Oh, Britt, I don't think Jim killed that man at all. I think the whole thing's a plan for blackmail, and possibly to hold over my head later so I'll withdraw from the election.
Do you have any reason to believe it is all a staged affair for those purposes?
Yes. For one thing, that girl, May, dropped out of the picture. If the bald-headed man had been her boyfriend, as they said, she would have been curious to know what had happened, and certainly would have contacted the police before this.
Well, that's true.
And in the second place, if it came to light, that manager and his two friends would be as guilty as Jim. They'd be accessories after the fact for concealing a murder.
Right again. You say all this happened last night?
Yes. Of course, you know that if I thought for one moment that Jim had killed that man, accidentally or otherwise, I'd take him to police headquarters immediately.
I suppose it's no use trying to find the chap who took Jim to that place.
Oh, no. Jim has only a vague recollection of what he looked like and doesn't know his name.
Well, Helen, just what are you going to do about it?
Well, Britt, I'm used to fighting my own battles. I'm going to see this through in my own way. And I hope to turn the tables on that contemptible bunch of blackmailers.
I admire your courage, Helen. But just why did you come to me if you intended...
Britt, in case things go wrong, I wanted someone I can trust to know the facts. So I came to you. I promised Jim the police wouldn't be brought into this yet, and I
but
don't
Helen,
want to...
personally, I think you're very unwise not to get their help.
Maybe so. But I'll risk it. I'm going to give my boy the money to take to those men, and I'll keep a list of the serial numbers on the bills.
That won't help if you won't let the police act.
When Jim goes to hand over that money, I'll follow him. When they take it, and I'm convinced it is blackmail, then I'll get the police, and they'll be caught with the goods. Well, Britt, thanks for listening. I'll let you know what happens.
I hope you do.
Goodbye, Britt.
Goodbye, Helen, and good luck. Wow. Helen's having trouble. Hope Cato's at home.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
Cato, are you alone?
Yes, Mr. Britt. You use private line. That mean we ride in Black Beauty tonight, perhaps?
Yes. A lady, a very good friend, needs help. And this is a case in which the help will have to come from a Green Hornet.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. After calling Cato on his private line, Britt rang for his secretary, Lenore Case.
Yes, Mr. Reed?
Miss Case, I haven't kept up with the nominees for the state legislature. I'd like to know more about them, so if you'll bring
I can tell you about them, Mr. Reed. The Daily Sentinel is backing Mrs. Helen Richland from this district.
Oh, yes. I know all about Mrs. Richland.
And then there's Sellers from the North District. He's formerly a city councilman, a member of the bar.
Who's opposing Mrs. Richland?
Are you kidding? You know John Camden is.
Oh, yes, Camden. What about him?
Well, you should know after the blast you gave him in that editorial last Friday. Gunnigan said it was one of your best editorials.
You'll have to write some more for me, Miss Case. You really went to town on that one, I guess.
Well, I did my best, because Camden is backed by every racketeer and gambler in the city. He runs a dirty campaign, and he stops at nothing, so they say.
Mm-hmm. Well, good enough. Well, if anything comes up, call me at home. I'm leaving now.
All right. Good night, Mr. Reed.
Good night, Miss Case. See you in the morning.
Leaving the Sentinel building, Britt Reed went to his apartment, where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. Britt and Cato discussed the Richland case.
It's dangerous for women to go after blackmailers alone, Mr. Britt.
Helen Richland's a very brave woman, but in this case, a very foolish one. She should have the aid of the police, but she promised her son not to call them.
Well, someone tried to keep her from getting elected, perhaps.
I wouldn't put it past Camden's mob to have engineered the frame-up on her son, if it is a frame-up. If she doesn't succeed in catching them red-handed, they'll get away with their money and... later, blackmail her into giving up the campaign. So they think. She'd fight them to a finish.
She deserved help of Green Hornet.
Right. And we'll start with her son, Jim. He'll meet the Green Hornet before he sets out to deliver the blackmail money. His mother pampers him too much. Scare by the Hornet will do him good. Let's go, Cato.
Young Jim Richland, still upset over the events of the preceding night, lay on his bed staring into space. He heard the window over the porch roof raise slowly.
What the... You... You're the Green Hornet.
That's what they tell me, Richland.
What do you want? Why did you come?
Maybe I've come to make sure you turn up with that door tonight.
So Webb and his gang at the Nightingale Club are mixed up with you.
So what? After all, a killer like you can't sneer at those who have the goods on you, Richland.
It was all a frame-up and you know it. A frame-up to make my mother pay or lose the election.
And you better make sure she does pay, bud. There'll be trouble if I don't get my cut.
When I take the money out to Webb at 10 o'clock, he can pay you off with the rest of those crooks of the Nightingale Club. After that, I'll be done with a lot of you, and so will my mother.
That's what you think. Remember, you shot and killed a man in front of witnesses.
If that man was really killed, the rest of them are as guilty as they say I am for not reporting it. You'll still get your money, but no more.
That'll be only the first payoff, Richland.
So that's it. You'll keep on trying to collect, ruining mother and business and politics, is that it? Well, you'll be sorry, Hornet. You and all the rest of them.
Tough guy, aren't you? Pay up and shut up, sucker. See you at the Nightingale Club at 10.
So long. I'll be there at 10, all right. But I won't be the only one. Dirty crooks. Now I'll phone the police.
In his home in the suburbs, John Candon was sitting at the desk in his study when he was suddenly startled by a voice.
Busy, Candon?
What's the idea of sneaking in windows? Can't you ring the bell like other people?
No, I might not get in that way.
Well, the Green Hornet, huh? I couldn't see you in the shadows across the room. What do you want to see me about?
I've come to make a deal. What may be called a double cross on a double cross.
Get to the point.
Calm sort of bird, aren't you, Candon?
Only fools get excited. Bad for the blood pressure. And I'm definitely not upset by men like you, Hornet. I know your kind well.
And I know your kind even better.
Stop the quips and get to the point. What's this double cross business you mentioned?
Just this. A guy by the name of Webb might have hired me to double cross you. I'm here to double cross him. You get it?
Webb's pulling a fast one on me, eh? In what way, if any?
He framed young Richland according to your plan.
Who said I had?
Don't waste time, listen. Webb went further than he was supposed to. The frame-up was to get Richland's mother out of the political race. But Webb's making them pay off in cash. I'm to be in on a deal if I tip off Mrs. Richland that you're behind the whole thing.
What? Webb's pulling a stunt like that?
Don't phone him now, Cannon.
Why not?
The payoff's at 10 o'clock tonight at the Nightingale Club. Why not go there and face him down then?
That's just what I'll do. But why did you come to tell me this, Hornet?
I'll collect on both ends. You'll pay when the time comes, Candon. So long.
It was after 9:30 when a police car sped along the boulevard toward the Nightingale Club.
Well, Exford, lucky for the Daily Sentinel, you were at headquarters tonight. You may get quite a story.
Sure, and that's what reporters are for, Inspector Evans. To get stories, says I. You really think young Richland was on the level with what he told you over the phone?
I'm sure of it. We can catch Webb and his mob with the goods and get proof that they did frame Richland. I'll be mighty happy.
Hey, Inspector, look up ahead. That one car seems to be trying to run another off the road.
Yes, that's right. Step on it, hurry.
Suffering snakes, look at that. The car in front's been crowded off the road, sure enough.
Quick, Cassidy, try to get close enough so I can shoot for his tires.
Yes.
Look, that first car's going to crack up in the ditch. There it goes.
Now lean out and try to get that guy.
He hit his tires, Inspector. He's stopping.
Pull up and back of him. Hurry.
Right.
He's trying to make a run for it.
Halt! Here's the police. Stop or I'll shoot.
You winged him. Good shooting.
Don't shoot. I give up. My arm shot.
Lucky it wasn't your neck. Now come on. Walk back to that other car. If the driver's killed, you'll hang.
Goodness. Thank goodness you came along. I'm just shaken up. I'm Mrs. Richland.
Mrs. Richland? Oh, you sure you're all right?
Yes, thank you.
I'm Inspector Evans from headquarters. We caught the man responsible. Put the light on him, Cassidy.
Yes.
There he is.
Oh, the contemptible cad. Why, he was trying to keep me from following my son to the Nightingale Club. He must be the bald-headed man my boy spoke of.
Hey, what's it all about, ma'am?
Inspector, bring that man along. We've got to hurry to the Nightingale Club. My boy's walking into trouble, and I'm sure he'll recognize that man.
We're going to the club. Your son phoned us to come out there. Said he'd been framed and was going to pay blackmail.
Jim phoned you himself?
Yes. He sure did, ma'am.
Oh, I'm so glad he did. Come on to your car. They must know he was being followed and sent that man to prevent it. Jim is in grave danger this time.
Come on back to the car. We'll get out there as fast as we can.
And I hope we won't be too late.
Meantime, Jim Richland arrived at Webb's office and approached Webb's desk.
Here's the money, you crooks. I've done my part.
You broke the bargain, Richland. You're not leaving here.
A little jerk squealed to somebody. That's why he was being followed.
Good thing Pete gave us the tip-off a while ago.
Pete'll take care of the other car. Guess he already has.
Take him in the back room, fellas.
No, no, you don't. I'll show you.
Hey, slug me. Why, you?
That sure settled him. Drag him out of here before someone comes in.
Okay.
All right, drop him.
Look.
I am looking.
Well,
stop looking and do something. That's a Green Hornet.
Get out of my way, Bill.
You're not leaving?
Oh. Boss, get him. I'll get him, all right.
Hey, you ain't human. You ought to drop.
This is the gun with the blanks in it. I'll use a butt on you.
Oh, what's about it, Webb? You grab this.
Yes.
I'll crack your skull with this chair.
Oh, you don't. Oh.
Police come.
Right, so we'll go. They'll look after Richland.
Jim. Oh, Jim, are you all right, son?
Yeah, sure, Mom. I'm okay now. Hey, that's the guy who's supposed to be dead. You see, it was a frame-up.
The inspector already knows about it, son. I decided he was the one from that description you gave me.
Yeah, that sap went batty when I shot off a blank, that's all.
He was easy.
Easy? That little frame-up's put you in plenty of trouble.
What's going on here? Well,
that's the leader of the crooks, the manager. The other guy's over there.
What's going on in here?
Hey, that's Condon. What's he doing here?
Well, I was just visiting the club for supper. I heard a commotion and came to investigate. But I'll be leaving now.
Grab him, Compass. He's the one behind all this business. He planned it all. And he's not walking out and leaving us to take the rap.
Stay right where you are, Candon. We'll
take them all to headquarters and the Richlands can sign the warrant. We found the Mike Bills on Webb.
Well, I guess we got them all.
All except the Green Hornet. He's the double-crossing sneak who caused me to come here.
Holy cow. That explains why things are so messed up, Inspector.
It was because of the Hornet that I phoned the police, Mother.
Well, it looks as though the Hornet indirectly saved my political reputation, too. Strange we should all be indebted to him.
He didn't intend to help out anybody, ma'am. He was in with them, looks like. Then got sore about something and double-crossed him. Lucky for your son that he did.
Well, his double-crossing left us quite a haul of crooks.
That Hornet would double-cross his own grandmother. Last time, he certainly made a fool out of me.
Faith, now get along with you, Candon. Even the Green Hornet couldn't improve our nature, says I.
Green Hornet implicated. Read all about it, Green Hornet.